Hello, and welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. On the guided tour, you'll be escorted by an official host or hostess who will point out the many features and attractions and take you on an exciting tour of Disneyland.
Thank you for joining us for Plaid Stories, where we talk about guest relations at Disneyland. I'm Mike Lynch.
I'm Janet Tanasugarn.
And I'm Dave Tavers.
Today we have the extreme pleasure of speaking with Connie Swanson Lane. She is a tour guide and is the 1966 Disneyland ambassador. And she is a wonderful friend and mentor. Connie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
As Dave mentioned a little bit earlier, we're just going to have a fun conversation together. And we've had so many wonderful lunches over the years. I think in the time that I've known you, I've never asked you, how did you begin your career at Disneyland?
If you're asking, how did I apply? That's really a fun story, but go ahead. Which way
yes,
would you?
Yes, please.
Nah, let's go with that. Yeah.
Okay. I happen to know that Don Nobis, because I had asked people who was over the guest relations program. Don Nobis was the original Irish tenor in the Golden Horseshoe. And we had, my mother, my family and I had gone in there, and my mother thought he was the neatest thing. He had such a wonderful tenor voice. It was just gorgeous. So I knew who he was because he as a personality was very vibrant, and my mother thought he was the greatest. He developed a little throat problem and had to leave the stage and went into guest relations, which involved the tour guides. Now, I knew where his office was, which at this time was City Hall, and I paid my way into Disneyland. I don't recommend this for anybody else. And I waited in Town Square until he came out of City Hall. I recognized him, and I just sort of ran up to him and held out my hand and said, "Hi, Don Nobis, my name is Connie Swanson, and I am just thrilled to meet you, and I was wondering if I could be a tour guide."
There you go.
That kind of stopped him in his tracks because it was different than anything he'd had happen before, of course. And he said, "Well, this isn't quite the way we go about applying for the park. We have an application that you fill out, and then it goes through a process." And I said, "Wow, I was wondering, do you think I could get an application from you?" And he goes, okay. And it kind of amused him because I was so enthusiastic. Being in the theater, he knew enthusiasm, and he knew it makes or breaks you. So he went back into City Hall, got me an application, and waited while I filled it out. And then I told him how much I really appreciated this. And he said, "Now, you realize that I'm not hiring you. You will get a call from personnel and come in." And I said, "That's fantastic. But before you leave, could I have a script?" He said, "What?" I said, "Well, I'm enrolled for college in the fall, and I really would like to be prepared. And I understand there's a script." And he goes, "Well, there is. It's a 14-page spiel." And what? I said, "I just thought I'd memorize it in case you can use me." And he went back into City Hall and came out with the script. And again, he said, "Now, again, I'm not hiring you. First of all, you're not old enough yet to be hired." And I said, "But I will be. And I'd like you to remember me, because I don't want to work anywhere else in the park." Now, no offense to anyone else that I'm going to say, but he goes, "Well, where do you think that they would hire you for?" I said, "I'm a fantastic storyteller. I think they'd probably put me on Storybook Land, and I really don't want to work storybook land. I want to be a tour guide. And this amused Don that I had an idea that I could do something other than tour guiding, but that wasn't what I had my heart set on.
This is all in town square.
Standing in front of City Hall. Yeah, he didn't make it across to town square before I introduced myself. I mean, it was like Santa Anita. Boom, there's Don Novus. Hello, you have the roses. I'm Connie. I really want to work for you, with you. And I got a phone call in November. Would I like to be a tour guide? Could I come in and do some training? And I said, will do. Just drop the calculus and all that stuff and I'll be there, because I was telling them, I'll be there. When do you want me? And they picked a Saturday. And Don Novus trained me. There was one other girl that was being trained as a tour guide, and her first name was Saskia. She was German, spoke about four languages. I just speak English. Enthusiasm, I guess. And Don Novus walked with us around the park, and we would spiel. He had the script in his hand as we're standing in front of Adventureland, Main Street, wherever. And occasionally he'd look at it, and then he'd move us on to the next spot, and we'd give the spiel, and we passed. And then I was officially hired in December. Came on at Christmas. How fantastic is that? First day at the best job in the world at Christmas.
What year was that, Connie?
62.
Wow.
So I hired in as a tour guide, which was guest relations. It was incredible. And Cicely was over us as well, and she would utilize guest relations wherever she could in the park. At that time, each section was more or less its own unit. Operations, you did not float to operations or talent or merchandise or anything of that type. You were in the area that you'd been hired for, and that's where you stayed unless there was a specific need for you to transfer. And Cicely was remarkable, make that capital letters, at making sure that the tour guides got good representation. If there was candlelight, we led the candlelight. And on my Facebook page, I often show pictures of my first candlelight parade in 66. Coming down Main Street. Awesome. I thought I was in heaven. I'd have paid for the right to be doing that. It was so delightful. I think the funniest part of it is when I post a picture on Facebook of that, you see someone holding a staff with a star on it. You don't really catch the whole picture. The star is lit by flashlights. Tape to the pole. It's just so funny.
Oh, geez.
We were just learning. We being the entire park. Costuming. Well, they didn't have a star made up. And although we had construction areas in the back, stars that were lit up just wasn't within the domain of things that were needed at that time. So I love that picture because it shows the beginnings. It shows how we were learning. Of course, the stars are fancy and candle and all that now. But there was this little silver star on a stick lit by flashlights. And it was awesome.
Hmm. You said that Don trained you. Did he train you for City Hall guest relations, or did he train you for tour guide?
Tour guide. Guest relations and tour guide. City Hall was a separate unit. And I might add, I've never been a City Hall girl. That just took a cast member, because now we have young men as well. That was just not something I enjoyed. First of all, I don't like sitting. I like getting up and moving. But we would give breaks for City Hall, or when we had the Disney exhibit on Main Street, we would occupy that location to tell people about the awards and so forth that were there.
When did you interact with Cicely after that, after Don trained you?
Well, Don passed away not too much longer after that. And then Bob Wormhout headed the division. Cicely and Maggie Albright were over the tour guides. Then Maggie went on to other endeavors, and that left Cicely in charge. And I would see her daily. I loved going into her office, and perhaps this is a little off the beat, but hearing her story of how she met her husband in England after the war, it was just so romantic to me. I loved it. I loved hearing about it. I was astounded that she would marry a man from another country and go live there. It just was amazing to me. She came over on the Queen Mary with the baby.
Wow.
And it never even occurred to her, how is she going to spot Glenn down there in that huge crowd? And I said, well, what happened? She goes, well, as we pulled in to the dock and they let the gangplank down, or whatever gangway, whatever it was called in that period of time, she said, I could see someone jumping up and down with a bassinet in his arms. Isn't that wonderful? It was Glenn. I mean, how romantic to me. And I loved her stories about England, too.
You said you remember the story that Cicely would tell about meeting Glenn. Do you remember much of that story?
Not much about them meeting. I just remember thinking, that takes a lot of bravery. After a war, to marry someone and move to an entirely different atmosphere, entirely different country. I just thought that was remarkable.
That would be.
I've never heard that story before, Connie, and to think how important Cicely is to the tradition of guest relations and the ambassador program. If she wasn't so brave, we wouldn't be where we are today, I don't think.
I don't think even in this day and age, I would reach that kind of bravery. But there were things that were so different to her. Like they had coal heating, and I don't remember where they were living at the time. And so the coalman, now you probably don't have a mental picture, I do, of my grandmother's place. The guy would come in with a truck of coal with a shuttle chute, and he would download X amount of coal into your basement. A young bride, a different form of money, different customs. And I remember one time she gave the driver, the coal hauler, a dime as a tip, and he looked at it and he said, I think you need this more than me. What a story. She didn't know. I mean, she was just a young kid. Oh, I don't know if Penny will appreciate me telling that story. But I thought it was neat.
That's wonderful.
Wonderful time.
So you led Candlelight. You are giving tours. Do you remember your first tour?
Oh, I sent Janet a picture of it. Yes. And I was, you know, a country kid. I had a gentleman from Germany, a lady from England. It was just like so exciting. I thought, this is so neat. Where would I have had the opportunity to meet so many nationalities? And I was very comfortable with them. They were such nice people. This was new to them, and it was kind of new to me, too. And in Adventureland, I looked up above the bazaar. There are offices there now, right?
Yes.
And there was Don Novus standing on the porch up there watching me. And I waved at him. Because I'm just kind of that person. Hi, Don. These are my people. You know? And he just kind of went, oh, okay.
Did you feel ready to go with that first tour, or were you nervous?
I was so ready to go. I was just dying to show people Disneyland, to show them my home. I was concerned about the script. I'm not a verbatim script person. And
me either.
I have done shows, and you're never quite sure how I'm going to get it out of my mouth, but the meaning will be there. Instead of, oh, look who's coming. It's, I'll be darned, here comes George. You know, verbatim wasn't my forte, but I did my best.
Can I ask a question kind of out of left field, Connie?
Okay, I'll get out my glove.
What was Walt like?
Oh, fantastic. And you called him Walt. And if you didn't call him Walt, if you called him Mr. Disney, he would make sure that you understood it was Walt. I can remember going down Main Street and turning around specifically in front of the Candy Palace, because that was a place I would turn around and give my spiel. And I looked up and there was Walt at the back of my tour.
Wow.
Yeah. Give your spiel.
Did your tour know that it was Walt? Or were...
No.
That's awesome.
A period of time when it was kind of Walt, who was your period of time? Because you see, he was new. People didn't know. But he would often appear at the back of my tour and others as well, because he wanted to hear what the guest's input was. How did the guests feel about whatever? And he'd just kind of stand there and look around as I was spieling or whomever was spieling and listen for the public opinion. It was amazing. He was just an incredible man.
Do you remember your first conversation with Walt?
Yes. We were at the studio and we'd gone through the selection process. There were, I believe, five of us. And we were taken in to his office. And he just kind of welcomed us to the studio. Did you have any questions? My question was, how many employees are there here? And he broke it down without any question. It was like, that was a good one. Okay. Because we'd been through so many sections, it was kind of hard to comprehend everything that was there. Remember, we're coming from a small town to a bigger area and glamorous to me. Oh my gosh, the illustrators, the inks, the paints. Oh my gosh, so many colors. Didn't know there came in that many colors.
Talking about going to such a big space like that, where did you live when you worked at Disneyland? Did you live nearby? Did you grow up in the same place?
On Clementine in Anaheim, between Pearson Park and the City Park, is the house that I grew up in.
Wow.
We could see the fireworks.
I know where that is. Yeah. Yeah.
You referred to it as you were a country girl. So I'm guessing there's still acres and acres of orange groves. And
yeah, my family owned an orange grove in Corona, but it became a bit of more of a management thing than we knew how to handle. So they sold that. I can remember going out to the orange grove. Oh, they smelled so good. Those blossoms, I could understand why women of, say, my grandmother's period of time would wear orange blossoms in their wedding headdress, because it smelled so good. And then you'd pick an orange off the tree and peel it and eat it right there and get sticky and the bees would chase you. It's just, that's country. But all of us are country.
True.
Do you have a favorite memory of giving a tour or anything at the park with guests or backstage? Any favorite stories that maybe you haven't told 50 times before?
Oh, it's really hard to pick a favorite. People were just exciting to me. I loved hearing what they were coming from. Where was their home? Okay, Elton John. I was on a hostess tour, and at that time you got a regular piece of paper from the computer, and it told you who you had and how many people you had. And I'm going, Elton John, another name. I'm not saying anything to anybody, because you never want anyone to know you're totally unaware.
It kind of rings a bell.
Name rings a bell. Can't think of it. But he was just beginning.
Oh.
And he came out to Disneyland for the day or the week of his first appearance at the Troubadour.
Wow.
So he was just a kid. And I went out there and he's sitting on the curb in front of guest relations window.
Oh, geez.
And I thought, okay, this is different. And, you know, so I sat down on the curb and said, how you doing? You know, mind you, dress, high heels, nylons, always nylons. And he goes, oh, I just don't know if I'm going to do this or not. I said, okay, what do you want to do? And hearing him talk about concerns about his first appearance, what he was thinking, and everybody's kind of hovering around him as he's talking about it, I thought, oh, he's nervous, just like the rest of us. It's a new thing, but it's a passion. And finally he said, okay, let's go look at Disneyland. But I want to be like everyone else. I said, we can arrange that. Let's do it today. Because people probably won't recognize you or anything else. They're here with their family. They're here for their day at Disneyland. So let's go have your day at Disneyland.
Times were different back then compared to today. People back then were more aware of people's privacy, I think. You can
very,
correct
very
me.
Very much so. Very much so. People wouldn't take pictures. It was not done. You allowed people to be themselves for the day.
Were you still in the era of people kind of dressing up to go to Disneyland?
That's a yes and a no. Disneyland had dress codes, and you could only come in certain attire. But yes, I remember coming for date night and bringing my high heels in a separate bag so that I could dance in high heels, and then I'd be wearing flats during the day. And it was fun to dress up, and you were very comfortable because everyone was dressed nicely.
Yeah.
And the music was great. I heard more big bands than my mother or grandmother heard because you had the access to them. Disneyland brought in the best entertainment.
Yep.
And so they'd bring in big bands and I'd go and see them. Sometimes I'd take my mom with me so she could see them too. Wonderful entertainment.
We had big bands in the summer when I was there, Connie. And I just remember so many different ones. And then I think Stan Freese would conduct the Disneyland band.
They would do wonderful
big band sets. Yeah.
I saw Louis Armstrong.
Wow.
Incredible.
Dave probably doesn't remember that. They probably didn't have that during his time.
Mm. Well, we had the Disneyland band over at Carnation Plaza. Ah. It was nice. And they had swing dancing during my years there, but that was once a week. And then eventually they moved it out into downtown Disney outside of the park, which was very disappointing because I liked having that music inside of the park.
Had a good feel, good vibe, didn't it?
Yeah. And it kept you in that space of what Disneyland, especially Main Street, was about that era.
Yes. And you could have Fantasia ice cream at Carnation Plaza Gardens. Now, you probably don't know about Fantasia ice cream, but it was wonderful.
They bring it back every now and then.
Do they?
I don't eat ice cream a lot, but I know that it was a treasured flavor, especially anyone who was a cast member at Carnation. But I saw it not too long ago, but I don't know if it's actually on the menu all the time or they only bring it back during a certain time of year or if they're promoting something at Disneyland.
It was so good.
What were the flavors in it, Connie? I think banana was one. And was it cherry and chocolate?
Cherry and pistachio, I think.
Cherry, pistachio, banana swirled.
Yes. Oh, so good. And pretty.
How long were you a tour guide?
I don't think I ever stopped being a tour guide.
True, very true. Once a tour guide, always a tour guide.
Yep.
Jack Lindquist told me I couldn't give blood because of all the Mickey Mouse ears that were in my veins. I don't think you better get blood. No, you give them a problem. I don't think I ever stopped. In fact, I have a picture of a trip back in which I'm standing in front of the tour garden with a map looking like I'm confused.
I didn't realize that you were still a tour guide after your ambassador term, but you had recently posted some pictures on Facebook. I think you mentioned the years. And so I guess when you were ambassador, was the role understood that you would go back to your previous position?
No, not at all. And in fact, from that time forth, it was kind of up to you to find your position in the community. And a lot of the girls met good segues into other corporations just by their background. But I told Jack Lindquist that I really hoped I could go into hostessing, which was a full-time position. And then with my good fortune, Marcia Minor, who was a full-time hostess, was chosen as the next ambassador, and there was an opening. Yay me!
So how was the hostess position different from a tour guide position?
It was a perpetual position in the suit and heels, and it was strictly guests of the park, and then became guests of corporations that had affiliations with Disney. So you took a family or an individual person around for the day, as long as it wasn't over 8 hours. You couldn't do that.
That was corporate. So it was basically Disneyland invited someone or some company head said they want to come. That was the difference, is that you were hosting them or hostessing them to just be with them around the park, play the role of Walt.
Yes.
As opposed to tour guide, which was predefined spiel to people about the park. Is that the difference?
Yeah, but you were still being Walt, even if you were in the plaid. You were still representing Walt. Yeah, that's basically it. And so I worked as a guest relations hostess. Well, I can't remember exactly when we started our family.
Janet said after you were an ambassador, you came back to the park. Any notes about that? Because I would imagine that that would have been quite a change to go back to being a guide and a hostess.
Well, as a hostess, no, that was a different thing. And I I had never had much opportunity to do it as a tour guide.
Oh.
Because there were only, I'm not certain on the number, maybe 4, 5 under Donna Parton. And so it was like going into another activity, but having so many exciting things about it that you were basically welcoming people to Walt's home.
So, Connie, when you were there, being a hostess was separate from being a tour guide, correct?
Yes, it was part of the same division. And as a tour guide, I was always told to have shoes, nylons, etc., in my locker, which was on the premise, so that if they needed someone to host, if you could go, yep, I'm ready. I just have to run over and go to wardrobe.
Run to my locker, change.
Run to my locker, put on my high heels.
We've been talking about Facebook, and I admittedly was scrolling through your photos and everything, and came across a photo of you and Otis Orangutan.
Whoa, that's a long time ago.
But it's a great photo, and you guys have there's like a proclamation in your hand.
That was for the San Diego Zoo.
Ah.
And Walt sent a proclamation and a donation to the zoo.
Oh, okay. So you actually were going to other places like San Diego Zoo and that representing Disneyland.
I traveled to Sweden, Denmark, 5 South American countries, and I'm a little foggy on how many states, 30 plus states that I went to representing Disney. Because in this period of time, Disneyland was Disney.
Yeah, it was still fairly new. It was, in hindsight, it was in its infancy.
But I love animals, and to go to the San Diego Zoo and say, here, would you hold this baby? Let's tell everyone, baby.
This baby orangutan.
Just a little one. And it was like, oh, this is heaven. Look at these. He has eyelashes. Look at his fingernails. It was remarkable. I've always believed in the personality of animals, but to get to see them that close was marvelous for me.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be just incredible.
I did go back and see Otis in his later years. I would not want to hold him. He was gigantic and not as winsome as the little tiny guy.
I could see that. I could see it. There could be a role reversal. Otis could hold you.
He lived a long time. And every time I'd go down to the zoo, I'd ask if he was still with us. And he was there for years and years and years.
That's awesome.
When you were there, did they have the phone room?
Oh, gosh. Phone room as in, oh, no, I thought you, for 1 minute, I went back in time, went to Tomorrowland where you had individual family phone booths.
Oh, right. The phone booths in Tomorrowland. Yeah, no, guest relations. When I was there, and I'm pretty sure when Janet and Mike were there, we had phone room shifts where we would answer the incoming calls for Disneyland.
The hostesses handled that until we went into longer hours. And, well, before holidays, you would need people to help staff. And that would be coming from the tour guide department. So they would come in. It was really old-fashioned phones, you know, click the button, light up. And PBX was amazing. Those women were incredible. And if for some reason I was out at the guest relation booth where we handled tickets and admissions, and I just had no idea who the person was that they were saying had arranged for tickets, I'd call PBX. So where does so-and-so work? And they knew. They knew everything. And I'd get into their office. Hi, you have guests here by the name. And they'd get the tickets out to me.
Forgive me for not doing research. Have you written a book or have you thought about writing a book of your time?
I have, and I have someone who's rather anxious to help me write a book. I am not skilled enough to do a book, but yeah. And I've been advised I should get it down on paper.
Yeah, or at least recording.
That's what we're here for.
Thank you. It'll go into archive.
Yes.
Connie, do you have a favorite attraction at Disneyland?
You know, it kind of depends upon who I'm there with. If my grandson's with me, he used to love to go on the mine train because he'd like to see me get messed up. Because it's like, oh, okay. But if he asked me to go, I'd go. My mother really loved Pirates of the Caribbean. So writing on that, I would remember things that really piqued her interest and her laughter. I love the Haunted Mansion when Jack takes over.
Yeah.
Nightmare is just, I love that. I love walking through the castle. Yeah.
What about the Jungle Cruise, Connie?
Oh, I love the guys on. Oh, the ride. I'm sorry.
I was trying to lead you to talk about a specific skipper. I didn't know that your sweetheart, Barry, was also a tour guide.
He was, but that was before my time. And he also worked on the Jungle Cruise, again, before my time. When I met him, he was working in the Golden Horseshoe, Fountain and Foreman. That's when I had met him, because as a hostess, you would take guests to performances. Now, I need to back up to my favorite ride. Can I back up and go come back to Barry? Are we running out of time?
Yes, please.
Yeah,
we have all the time you want.
It is a little known fact that I helped open Small World with Walt. He had sent me to Sweden to represent Disneyland in an amusement park called Skansen, which is a historical amusement park. And my background, I was a Swanson, and my family came from the Skåne County. The plan was, here's the plan, that Walt would talk to me on the phone, and I would say the dedication words, at Skansen with the Minister of Communications, Olof Palme, and a number of other Swedish representatives. The phone went dead. And I'm sitting there with a script, and I can hear Walt saying, "Have you been to Russia? How did it go?" And it was great, Walt, on and on. And then I can hear Walt saying, "The phone's dead. I can't hear a thing." And there I am with all of these wonderful people who'd come out for the opening of Small World. And so I read my script into a deadline. So technically, wow. I opened Small World with Walt. And that will always hold a really great place in my heart, because I had seen the water from the Seven Seas shipped to Jack Lindquist's office. I had seen containers that were being built or made so that Walt could pour them in to Small World. I had walked Small World in hard hat with Walt. So, yes, that would be my favorite ride, because I can always see him there.
Was that at the World's Fair, or was that Disneyland?
That World's Fair was a little before my 66 okay. ambassadorship.
Got it. That was when it opened at Disneyland after the World's Fair.
Yes.
Got it. Yes. Thank you.
I love that story, Connie, because I like to watch Disney Plus, and I see you there with Walt in New Orleans Square very often, but I don't see any footage from It's a Small World, and I didn't know that story, but it plays off to your role as a tour guide was perfect, because you had a gift for improvising. So that worked out very well for you.
Yeah, that was, I was a bit scared. I didn't know how to handle the situation, but just did the best. And as I don't think any of the guests knew there was a problem, because at the conclusion of my dedication, I looked at Mr. Palma and said, "I'm so sorry. I think the line is having problems. I think it's gone dead." And I apologized to him on behalf of the phone company. Because he had something to say. And I said, "Won't you tell us what you had planned so that we can enjoy it?" He was a fine gentleman, and if he knew that there was a problem, he never let on. He read his part of the script. I think a lot of the ambassadors had interesting times. I didn't ask Sherry Cook if I could share this, but I do know she opened Haunted Mansion, and they opened it at night.
Really?
I didn't know if you knew that or not.
No, that makes sense.
And she had the press corps. And I don't remember if it was the Blue Bayou or if it was Club 33. I think it was the Bayou. And she was told close to midnight, "Okay, get ready." And so she, "All right, could we come this way?" And she starts walking towards the mansion, and she hears, "We got a problem. The ride's down. The dune buggies are not moving." And so Sherry walked over to the river and said, "I want you to appreciate how wonderful the mansion looks at this time." Sherry was a real trooper. She had some interesting time that night. I should have asked her to share that, but I can just appreciate it. And then suddenly everything's working, and, "Well, shall we go on the Haunted Mansion?" And they go over to the Haunted Mansion. Just a lot of us had some interesting ups and downs that we hadn't expected, because you can't always expect the phone to go down or the attraction to not be functioning quite up to snuff. Right, Janet?
Absolutely. I was laughing when you were describing yourself in a picture, looking at a map and looking lost, because I've been on guided tours where one day the pathway is there and the next day there's a big wall. And you're so it's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I led you down the wrong side. Let's go back around." So that's not unusual, I guess.
You just say, "Well, this is what we do when we're refurbishing and everything gets, and I'm sure you did great."
You know, I had just a lovely time in guest relations, and I owe so much to working at Disneyland and learning how to be a professional and remain calm in sorts of situations like that. So it's definitely a life skill that I still carry with me. I want to hear the rest of your story about Barry.
Oh, this is so much fun. I was taking a tour, can't remember the name of my tour, and there was this cute guy taking our names. Oh, hi, I'm Connie. This is so-and-so. I think we have a reservation. And he brought us on in. I went, well, this bears more interest. And when I got back to the office, I happened to ask around and found out he was dating a friend of mine. I went, oh, rats. Because I didn't see that. If he was dating someone else, that was okay. I waited till they were no longer dating and then made sure I saw him a number of times. And we fell in love in front of the castle. He asked me if I'd like to get married.
Oh,
I think so. Sounds like a good idea. How many of us have done that? A lot.
Mike, have you done that?
Actually, I proposed at Anaheim Stadium in the parking lot.
Oh,
but this is we romantic. Were both. But Connie, we were both in guest relations, and we met as tour guides. So.
How wonderful! A lot of romance.
Oh yeah.
I did not meet anyone there that I fell in love with and got married to, but I did start a dating site for Disney fans called Mouse Mingle.
I love that site. You've had some very good things on that site. In fact, I think I've copied you on a few things.
Thanks.
That's good. That bears repeating. We'll pass that along.
It's happiness. And that's what this is for me. Guest relations was about being, I'm not going to say I was not the best of the best. You were. And the generations that came before me, you were the best of the best in the park. You were the ones representing Walt. You represented the park. You were amazing.
Don't you see, though? We all represent Walt. People say, I wish I'd met Walt. Say, go out and meet a cast member who's doing the heart of the job. You're meeting Walt.
I agree, but I do think it takes a special passion and a special person.
Thank you.
When I worked there, I worked with and I met several cast members that did not have the passion that I did or that any of the four of us have. So I do think that you have to have that special something in your brain that says, I am representing Walt, and this is a special place, because it's all about happiness.
True. Very true.
I look at it this way. I don't know if things changed or were different during Connie's time or when Dave was there, but Mike, you'll remember when we had our performance appraisals, and it was meets Disney standards was just the bare minimum that you had to be. Right. And when I started off in food service. So my supervisor, I think at my first appraisal said meets Disney standards is still a very high standard. So to meet it is exceptional already. But then there's another stage that is exceeds Disney standards. And then there's a far exceeds Disney standards. So if you were appraised at that level, that's pretty darn good. And then the only thing below Disney standards is just a plain does not meet Disney standards. But I think what Dave is trying to say is that, and also to echo Connie, is that we all still to this day represent Walt, because it all began with Disneyland, and Disneyland was known in the early times as Walt's Folly, right? So his folly did so well in Anaheim that he decided to expand to Walt Disney World and so on and so forth. But I think what Dave is trying to say, you're saying there's a lot of people who just meet standards, but there are exceeds and far exceeds. And perhaps Connie is in the far exceeds category.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that's what we're trying to say.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't often get far exceeds Disney standards.
But that also plays into your playful personality, Mike. You like to color outside of the lines, is what I'm trying to say.
What a clever way to put it, Janet.
I do. I do, and I appreciate that, Janet.
We had our version of Cicely, I would say, would be Susan Shadrick. I just remember that Susan really ran a tight ship, and not a lot got past her. So
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
And Susan also was very good at getting us involved in many different things. We did award shows, and I remember Susan and I went to the post office to mail the invitations for Michael Jackson's party.
Wow.
And then we didn't have enough postage, and we had to take everything back and add a stamp to it. Whole nother story.
That's a good one, Mike, that we should save that for when we spotlight your guest relations career.
Yeah.
They didn't have the mail room doing that?
For some reason, we had done it.
Well, that's better.
Well, wait.
Yeah.
Speaking of mailroom, Connie, tell us how your father went from his career to working at Disneyland.
My dad was a postmaster, retired from postmaster. We were living in Corona at that time. And he thought retirement was for the birds. It just nothing to do. Now, I should phrase that my dad was a country boy. He grew up in New Sweden, Idaho, first of an immigrant family, learned English in school. And then his dad said, we all speak English. We don't speak Swedish. And they stopped speaking Swedish in the home, which is kind of sad because you lose some of that. So he grew up on a farm. Okay, fast forward, retires from the post office, and he hears, well, do you know how to handle horses? My dad goes, sure. How big? You want Belgians? You want Clydesdales? You want little ones? I don't do the little ones too well. Well, Disneyland is hiring at the pony farm for people to handle horses. So Dad drove in from Corona, which wasn't fun in those days, and got hired at Disneyland driving whatever they needed driving. He drove the stagecoach, Conestogas. He didn't like the mules as well. And then went out to Main Street, drove the streetcar or the Surrey.
Wow.
He really enjoyed it. And he really loved the big horses, the really big horses. They were very special to him. But that's my connection that way. And I can remember giving a guided tour. Bear with me. And seeing my dad drive a horse up Main Street on the streetcar and waving at him.
Wow.
And he'd smile at me.
That's
priceless.
That is very cool to be working there at the same time as your dad.
Well, my mom worked there too.
At the same time?
No, after my dad had passed away. My mom worked in merchandise.
Wow.
In Tiki's Tropical Imports. Wow. And on Main Street in the Emporium, they really work there. And then Tinkerbell's Toy Shop.
Were you still a tour guide at the time? Or a hostess? Oh.
I was hostessing.
How wonderful.
I have a picture of her in New Orleans Square on the Angel Staircase that is now the entrance to Club 33 because she worked New Orleans Square as well.
Wow.
And there were occasions that I was married at the time. I'd bring in my lunch. It didn't have a tour. We'd meet and have lunch above New Orleans Square.
Obviously, your parents were proud of you for doing the things you had done. What about the rest of your family? Were they as impressed, and did they understand how important it was, that job you were doing?
I'm from a blended family. My brother and sisters are all older than myself a lot, considerably. I came along after my parents were married for a bit, and surprise, you know, I grew up with my nieces and nephews. I don't know how they felt about it at the time, except maybe, wow, how's she going to do that? The closest sister to my age, always, she and her family came out, went through Disneyland, even to the point where she came out with her grandkids, and we'd go to the beach, but I had kids at that time too. But yeah, Disneyland was always a great part of all of our family. They were very proud of Daddy working, smiling, being so happy. And Mom, That was hard work in some of those costumes. New Orleans Square costume going to the stock room was very difficult.
That is awesome.
We have a few questions that, as guides for us. Janet, did you have the question about the pockets?
Yes. Did you carry anything specifically, or did you even have pockets in your costume when you were on tour?
No pockets. And you didn't carry anything hostess. Usually we had a purse while we were hostessing. And basically you'd put your lipstick and whatever essential you needed for the day. And I always carried a pencil and paper. Because Walt had asked me for a pencil and paper once to make notes in New Orleans Square. And I didn't have one. And that never happened again. But as part of our hostess costume, we had purses that were costume.
Did you carry gloves in your purse too?
Oh, we wore gloves. Leather, beautiful kid leather gloves. I loved them. I really enjoyed those gloves. And then in the summer, you'd have a white glove. I don't remember if it was, I think it was probably cotton because of the wear and tear on it. And then you would always have a, you had a hat too. Uh-huh. Those hats were a wink to the remembrance of the Jackie Kennedy period of time where pillbox hats or so were worn and you wore them with your suit. And that was our hostess costume.
The hostess hat, not the tour guide hat.
No, no. Go back to my page. In fact, there's a picture from...
There is, where you guys are in heels and you have like the white hats. And
yeah, the white hat. That wasn't bad. That was straw. But during the winter, they were always a velvet pillbox hat, which...
Very Jackie Onassis.
Very Jackie, yeah. Head of wardrobe was very Jackie aware. And that was a pinnacle of what you wore.
Those are great because, yeah, on your Facebook page, there are all of you on the escalator in Tomorrowland.
That's before my time. Sicily's in that picture.
Oh, okay.
That was a tour guide costume. No, I came in when it was plaid. So I'm a plaid girl. And my favorite ambassador costume was black watch plaid and a green velvet vest. Walt kind of liked that one best, and I did too.
Did you ever get to fly on the company plane?
Oh, yes. My first trip was, I'm not sure, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so bear with me, numbers are not my friend. It was 12 days and 14 cities.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It was as a promotion for the Christmas parade, and there was a green elephant that we would squeeze into that. Can you believe it? I remember Don pushing from the outside, and he was from wardrobe, and he'd climb over the top of the elephant in the doorway to pull the steps up and close it. And my best story about that is we landed in Eureka, California, which was a very small airport. Gentleman comes out with the fuel truck. The pilot said, "Nope, we don't need any, but can you help us open the door?" And the guy starts to get out of the truck and says, "What's wrong with your door?" He goes, "There's an elephant in front of it." The man turns around, gets back in the truck, and leaves. And there'd be a lot of times that the tower would say identification, and they would identify as Mickey Mouse 1. And then a long pause. "Would you give your identification?" And it was Mickey Mouse 1 and whatever numbers were appropriate behind it. But I can remember hearing a number of control towers going, "Can you give us the correct?" And they'd say, "This is the Walt Disney Company's airplane, King Air. My identification number is Mickey Mouse 1.
How fun.
Yeah, that was a fun time. Oh, it was exciting to fly in that. And we were really stuffed in there with an elephant costume and a gentleman from wardrobe to make sure nothing went wrong with the elephant costume and a character who could activate the costume well. And that particular costume carried water, so the elephant could squirt water from the trunk.
Wow.
So, Mitch, don't you do it.
Is that the elephant in the picture that you sent, Connie, or is that a different elephant?
Yeah, the green elephant. Yeah. That was so much fun.
Well, Connie, I have one more question for you. Who do you recommend we contact to join us and talk about guest relations and tour guide stories? Who else should we have on the show?
There are so many people. I hadn't really put my mind to that, but I was thinking as I went through some of the pictures, wow, it's very difficult to get in touch with some of the more mature former tour guides. May I think on this?
Please. Back to you? Yeah. I know that I sprung that on you. We didn't give you that as a preparation question, but I think we should start asking everybody. Doesn't mean we have to have them or that we would have them, but if you have a suggestion later, that'd be wonderful.
I will think on it.
Great.
Let Janet know.
Yes.
Yes, we will be in touch.
Let's put that on her plate.
I often get in touch with her. Janet, I have a problem. Can you help me figure this out?
Yes.
I can't get through to make my reservation. What number am I dialing that I'm not dialing?
I'm very pleased and honored that you turned to me for assistance. And then I consult my other people in the background to help me. So it's a team effort.
You know it. So I don't ask anybody else.
Aw. That's why we love you, Connie. You have been so generous with your time. And I learned a few things that I didn't know before. And that's just one of the reasons why we treasure you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us, Connie. Pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you, Connie.
My pleasure. It was magical.
By the way, I don't know if Connie knew or not, but this is our official first podcast.
Ooh, double the magic.
We've got to set the standard.
The standard is set really high now, Dave.
Yes, exactly. As it should be.
Yes.
Shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you at least land in the stars.
Yep. There you go.
Ooh, bravo.
Do you have any message you'd like to share for other tour guides, current, former? Any thought, closing thought?
I think it's important to remember you are the magic. It all starts with you.
Beautiful. Thank you for listening in. We are all so happy and proud to have been Disneyland tour guides or hostesses, and our time at the park is so special. As all tour guides know, it is something that stays with you for your entire life. Whether you were there for 6 months or 16 years, it does mean something to have been a Disneyland tour guide. So when you're out there in the world, whether you're a tour guide or not, be kind to people, always smile.
And point with two fingers.
I'm a whole hand pointer.
Yeah, I'm a little more hand pointer too.
But that's okay.
On behalf of Dave Tavers, Janet Tanasegarn, and our special guest, Connie Swanson-Lane, I'm Mike Lynch, and we thank you for joining us for Plaid Stories.